Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
What to do this second weekend in January? There is a lot of stuff to do. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 8th and 9th. Indoors and outdoors, everything is happening. Let's get to the former first. The Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo going on today, 9 to 5, and tomorrow, 9 to 2 at the Wildwood Convention Center. Packed, sold out, all the vendors, 75 or more vendors there. Plus you have five boat dealers. You have Captain Dave Marciano from Wicked Tuna, full slate of seminars going on and some super deals across the board. People are moving inventory. You have to understand, rods, reels, rigs, jigs, the whole bit. It is going to be a great time. And parking is free. Okay, and so far as being safe, you want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. There's going to be hand sanitizing stations around the Wildwood Convention Center. Again, the parking is free. That was a big, it's a one shot, straight shot in from the Garden State Parkway, exit 4 into Wildwood. Winter bow season is going on. And with this, again, another drop of snow. Winter bow, deer in the snow. Joining us in a segment later on in the program is a, I would say, one of the finest gentlemen and one of the most effective bow hunters I have ever known on public land in South Jersey, bow hunting the pines in the winter. That'll be another segment a little later on in the program. Hey, man, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Coming up in our next segment, George Poveromo, the world of saltwater fishing on the Discovery Channel, back for his annual January show, Rack and Fin, 19 years. His show going on 22 years. Plus, don't forget, George has a saltwater sportsman national seminar series. What is happening with that? Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull, you'll find out. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio. Ah, man, you notice the daylight's hanging out a little bit longer. The march to spring continues.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you 24/7 with supplies and solutions for every industry and access to product specialists ready to help. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This whole wall needs to be shelving, too. This is a focal point in our restaurant.
Leilani's new restaurant will have the largest wine cellar in the city. She needs a robust sommelier with notes of procurement manager.
Three sections for France? I mean, this is the biggest...
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
A new season is here, and I'm talking TV season. Back for our annual, this is how many times now? 19 years, so 19 years. We've had a very special guest on the Rack and Fin Radio line the first week in January. It's George Poveromo, host of George Poveromo's World of Saltwater Fishing on the Discovery Channel, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And he has a kick-ass show coming up Sunday. Jigging and popping bluefin tuna. I want to talk to George. There's a couple of segments, man. George, good to have you back on Rack and Fin. Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, Tom. And I hate to be one of the few to correct you this early in the year, but you said 19 years. This is year 22.
No. 19. It's 19 for Rack and Fin, brother. You've been on Rack and Fin 19 years. Hold it. Time out. You're going to be corrected here, George.
Yes, well, you got me. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, I guess.
Well, George, I was just getting into that. 22 years of nothing but unbridled success and excellence with the show. You're keeping it going. And I saw what you have in the jig and pop bluefin tuna, George. That's going to be a gangbusters, man.
It is. And what makes it even that much more, I guess, thrilling to me is because we had my boat sent up there for Rhode Island. So when you have like my boat up in a New England destination, it just feels so great. Not only being your own boat, but you're in a totally different environment.
Yep.
And it's just really exciting. And then we were jigging for bluefins and getting them on top water out of Rhode Island. And we ran out of Westerly, and it was, love the experience. And Corey Crochetier was right back to me. It was the picture perfect weather day. And, despite leaving at 2:30 in the morning and getting all the way out there before sunrise, it was amazing. I can't say enough good things. And the fishing was flat out.
Jordan, now what tuned you up for the jigging and popping the bluefin? You have unlimited choices, what to film, where to go, what have you. What made you key on this Rhode Island bluefin bite?
Because it's so unique in that here you are, get the traditional fishing for the giants, and you've got the trolling for bluefins. You have the old tried and true methods, and with the light tackle fishing where you could get some of these fish on jigs or topwater, it just brings another element. I mean, we do that with the blackfin tuna down here out of South Florida, and to get those fish reacting to artificials and light tackle, it's amazing. And then to have the opportunity to go up and catch these bluefins with light tackle and then the jigs and the topwater, it just makes it so much more of an exciting fishery. I love light tackle. I love getting them on artificials. And the amount of sea life that I experienced that day with porpoise schools, whales, mola molas, I thought for a second that somebody dropped my boat in the middle of the Miami Sea Aquarium. It was like incredible, the life up there.
Well, George, regarding the bluefin, I mean, because there's a fantastic, this past year, again, wasn't like the triple rex bite the year previous. We had you had good yellowfin bite. You had a decent big eye bite. But with the bluefin, George, their ocular systems, guys swear that they see they're a lot more wary of lures, baits, whatever, with line attached. Vis-a-vis now the fluorocarbon, some guys going down to as light as 30 pound test. Have you found that to be the case, or all tuna pretty much? Because the one guy said to me, Tom P., comparing a yellowfin and a bluefin, that's like you behind a cannoli counter in an Italian bakery, or Gordon Ramsay eyeballing a crepe Suzette. You got two different animals there. But with the bluefin, George, do you find that to be the case?
Okay, so with all the tunas, it's not just bluefins. We've experienced this numerous times, the yellowfins. We've experienced it numerous times, the blackfins. I mean, when these fish get on the feed, regardless if they're bluefins, yellowfins, or blackfins, when they're in a feeding mode and nothing gets in the way, they'll eat a piece of rope with a hook tied onto it. But when they get very, leery or not really in a feeding mood and you're trying to fool them, we naturally have to drop down to fluorocarbon leaders. Sometimes they're very, very light, really long fluorocarbon leaders and smaller hooks, anything to try to tweak that presentation. But those tuna have just a totally incredible eyesight. And when they get like that, they become very, very wary. And that's where you got to go in the bag of tricks and lighten things up. And, one of the things like with our blackfins, and we've done this with the yellowfins, they're live baiting or chunking for them, and they're not responding.
Right.
We've gone down to 25-pound test fluorocarbon leader, and now you beat the system. You get a small inline circle hook, like a 3-aught or so. And when you hook the fish, more times than not with a circle hook, the eye of the hook remains on the outside of the fish's jaw. So compared to a J-hook, where they swallow it and their teeth rubs against that lighter leader and frays off.
Right.
So you could go way light with leader if you use a circle hook, which should keep that leader out of the fish's jaws.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way to do it,
that's
George.
What we found, based on our success, is doing that, those circle hooks work. But I will tell you this on that trip up there, and maybe I brought a little bit of South Florida with me. We were running back in from offshore, and we're in 70-degree water temperature. Now we're in that real green water as you're starting to run back in. And we see what we thought was a dead whale. And so we pull up to it thinking, hey, you might have a good shark on this thing. But it wasn't a whale. It was like an Amazon tree floating. And then Corey said, hey, the mahi. And I thought he was joking. But here we are, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
And he's telling me, mahi, I'm laughing. Yeah, okay. He goes, seriously, there's mahi under there. And I look, and there's mahi under there. So we ended up catching about four or so dolphin, nice-sized ones, off that freaking tree in 70-degree water temp off of Rhode Island. And for a minute, I thought we were back in South Florida.
George, that's going to be an incredible show. We're speaking with George Poveromo, host of George Poveromo's World of Saltwater Fishing on the Discovery Channel. He's been on Rack and Fin Radio Guest for 19 years, the duration of Rack and Fin, but the show's been around 22 years, as we both corrected each other there. Well, George, let's get to the series itself now. Discovery Channel, your ratings are through the roof, as always, but Poveromo, I expected no less. You know, you understand that from me. But, George, picking the shows, let's go into the lineup. What do you have airing this spring?
Oh, okay. Well, we have the Rhode Island show, which takes off this coming Sunday. And then I believe on February 6th, we have a Jersey show where we had the Mark VI at Brielle, New Jersey, and had gone out for the yellowfins there. Then we've got our several shows throughout the Florida Keys. We have a Miami Sailfish show where a buddy of mine had gone out and went 5 for 7 on sails in one day. Then we have a Florida Panhandle show up in Destin, where we had hit some of the wrecks out there for amberjack, then came back in around the bridges for a big bull redfish. So
nice.
A triple tail show out of the Tampa area. So now I'm about to say, when that COVID was starting to lighten up, we started getting back up with our travel shows. That's why we shot Rhode Island, and that's why we shot Jersey. So, of course, with our next season, we get back to filming. I want to make sure that we do, you know, get back up into Jersey again and hit another New England, stop as we like to do, and cater to all the crazy fishing people up in your part of the world.
Well, George, as you said before, I'm very proud to be part of however minute part of the angling world up here in the Great Garden State. You know, we have great coastline. We have great fishing over there in Delaware Bay for the drum, et cetera. You come back to Jersey, George, we have some pretty damn good fishing, do we not?
You do. That's one of the problems when I look at doing something in Jersey. You have so many good opportunities. I don't know what to pick, you know? It's like you just throw you put it on a dartboard, you throw a dart. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many things. You know, I love offshore, obviously. But, man, you know, I like the fluking up there, which we don't do or get down here. And,
right.
You know, I like the striped bass, which we don't get down here either. And there's so many, you know, the sharks I don't care about. We run away from them down here, so I'm not going north to go catch them. But, you know, tog, there was another one that we had done a number of years ago. I used to hear people at the seminars talk about this tog, you know, the blackfish, how mm-hmm. tough they are. And I'm looking at these things, the pictures, that come on, guys. We catch big 50-pound grouper down here. That thing's a... You know, and we were like reeling in a napkin. So I tried it, and I came in with a whole new respect for the tog, how to hook them, and then also trying to keep them out of the rocks. I said, man, now I know why people are so high up on the tog fishing. It's an amazing fish.
Well, George, back to Florida, the Panhandle. I love that whole area. In fact, I love the Gulf Coast of Florida. To me, again, my opinion, people. George, you know, we had the Fenora County Atlantic side. We had that steering control over there in Nacomas, you know, a little bit north of Venice.
Yeah.
So I got
the steering wheel off the bass boat and driving 70 miles an hour, driving with my thumb and finger on the shaft.
So, George, I got to fish both areas. I just love the Gulf Coast. To me, better water, better fishing, better people, except for the armadillos. They have an attitude. But, George, that area up around Destin, I had to work a tournament once up there for an organization in, George, I think it was in August. And listeners, you're talking Mozambique, Sahara Desert, Tanzania hot. George, I never, ever experienced heat like that. And it just kept coming in waves. Listeners, when you wake up in the morning and it's 90 degrees with 90% humidity, you know your balls are going to be sweating like crazy, man.
Well, now there's a little wonder why they get those monster hurricanes going through there.
Ugh. George, it's a great place to fish. The people are wonderful. The best fried pickles in the universe. But George, that weather, I think you really have to pick your times. Because even out on the water, we did some of the plow. George, it's hot out on the water even. Mary, mother of God.
Well, it is. You know, you look at the summer, like over here in South Florida, summertime, and you're chasing dolphin out in the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream temps 93, 94 degrees.
Uh-huh. That's crazy.
You can hook your fish in the Gulf Stream cook.
Listen, speak with George Pover. George, you're up against a hard break. I want to get back and have you back for another segment, George. Listen, I want you to know and learn about George Poveromo, the man. I've known him for decades, and I've known them all. And this man is truly, George, you are one of the true, like, platinum representatives of the fish, not only the fishing tackle industry, George, but the fishing TV whole persona, whole universe that encompasses that. You're indeed a class act. People, grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back with George Poveromo, George P. World of Saltwater Fishing, 22 years. Rack and Fin, 19 years. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
For a healthier life, trust the experts at Cape Regional Health System. Cape Regional Health System serves Cape May County with high-quality, comprehensive care, including Cape Regional Medical Center, 3 urgent care facilities, Cape Regional Physicians Associates with over 50 primary care and specialists, radiology, lab, wound care, and physical therapy services, plus Penn Radiation Oncology at the Brodesser Cancer Center. Call 609-463-CAPE for more information. Cape Regional Health System, for a healthier life.
Some people are easily moved.
Wasn't that just the saddest movie ever?
Whatever. Others, not so much.
Oh, look at the puppies!
Just dogs, but smaller, so what? But even those who aren't easily moved...
Look, your long-lost brother's been found!
Oh, hi, Mike. ...can be moved by us. Yeah, we're that good.
Use Clark's Moving and Storage in Rio Grande for your next local or long-distance move. Visit Clark's Moving and Storage online at clarksmoving.net.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
A lot of stuff going on here, man. We have the Wildwood Expo this weekend, and everything's getting crazy. And also, I'm sorry, 78973 ESPN FM, streaming live 973ESPN.com. Go to the podcast. We said we're all over the place. Join us online is George Poveromo. George Poveromo's World of Saltwater Fishing on the Discovery Channel, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Here we go now. Here we go now. The Saltwater Sportsman National Seminar Series. Tommy P., is Poveromo going to be back with that after all this COVID BS and whatever? Now, listen, this has been around for, I guess, since 1988, 89. George has been hosting this. This is, without a doubt, the most educational saltwater fishing seminar series in the universe. Forget the planet. Now, George, I understand that it's evolved now. It's not going to all the cities here and there. The deal is now it's a what kind of rating on a national TV series, George, are we talking about? What kind of numbers?
Well, when we did the 21 tour because of COVID, we canceled the ground tour,
right,
and we were going to take a year off, and our sponsor says, no, you need to keep the continuity. So long story short, we turned it into a 13-series TV episode. Well, a couple months ago, Saltwater Sportsman got the ratings back. The seminar series TV episodes were viewed by 3.2 million households. Totally flipped out, Saltwater Sportsman. The sponsors were flipped out. But the 3.2 million had watched the seminar series. So what had happened, when we did a national TV series with it to make sure we stayed consistent and we couldn't tour because of COVID, we had the 2022 ground tour line to go. But then after the ratings and everything, all the sponsors and Saltwater says, hey, this thing evolved. All the sponsors want TV now. So now we shoot next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at the IGFA. We're shooting the 2022 National Seminar Series, 13 televised episodes that will start up in the second quarter and third quarter of this year. So what turned out to be I always had that TV idea in mind. I said, one day I would like to do a televised seminar series.
Right.
But I was so busy, we never got around to it. Then COVID left us, well, let's try it. And we did that. So with Saltwater Sportsmen, they were telling me up there, they're saying, you know what happened? He said, the seminar series just evolved into a bigger production that is seen by so many more people. And that's what the sponsors were saying. They're saying, now you have people who saltwater fish that have heard about the seminars, but they're several states away. They couldn't get to one. Mm-hmm. Now they can see this thing. So I think we outsmarted ourselves.
Listen, you have to understand, especially in this industry, the business of the world is business as per the sponsors. And you have to get the, you know, you have to take into account the sponsor feedback. With George, it seems like a win-win all around, little brother.
It is, and but I got to tell you that the TV deals—it's fun, it's entertaining. But what I really do miss is that personal interaction with the audience. And you go to certain areas. I miss the Jersey crowd because, like I always say, in a good way, those people are crazy. They're crazy in a good way. They're noisy. They're loud. George. They talk with you. It's just a thrill, and I totally miss that human interaction that came with the ground tour. It's not to say we won't come out with one special, you know, ground tour down the road a bit, but right now we evolved to a TV series.
Mm-hmm. Well, George, one thing too, I miss going to the seminars themselves. This is, and if you've never been one, well, it's a little too late now. It's a really interactive thing. And not only Poveromo, but also his staff, the panelists, they are one-on-one with the people. They take time. They share the knowledge. George, I've never seen anything like it before or since.
No, and that's why it was so highly successful. And, you know, and then it naturally went beyond that and evolved into a TV series. Now, I'm going to say that, hey, I'm not ruling out a ground tour, you know, at least getting one more out there and maybe doing it. I'm not going to tell you that we're not going to do that, but, you know, right now we're TV.
Okay, listen, John Lado says, George Poveromo, World of Saltwater Fishing, Discovery Channel, and also George is the host of the Saltwater Sports and National Seminar Series. As he just explained, it has evolved. There's now a TV series. Well, George, before I want to get to George the man, you had mentioned back in, again, at, what was that, Gulf Harbor Marina. They were in Nokomis. We were doing a steering system. And listen, in comes the saltwater sportsman crew. I was responsible for getting all the boating, fishing magazines, mechanical, all the magazines here. And we were taking them out on boats, steering with, you know, little, like, what was it, bathroom handles or whatever, George? Sink handles?
It was power steering brought to the marine industry is what it was. It was a power steering setup where you could drive a bass boat with your pinky if you wanted to.
At 70 miles an hour. Listen, George did it. But prior to that, there was an article in Saltwater Sportsman called Coco Cocodry. I'm right. I says, who's this? Mm-hmm. Who's this young gun here? I said, you know, because I, listen, again, very fortunate. Thanks to Wood Advertising. Traveled around a lot of places. Got to fish a lot of places. Found stuff in the writing industry from guys, kind of hype, kind of free trip here, free trip there. So you're going to write about it. I said, let me try this. And let me tell you something. Poveromo, when you walked in, I guess Barry Gibson was there, a couple other guys, saltwater sportsmen. I can't remember the whole crew. I sat down. I remember I looked at you. I said, I went there. Some of the best fishing I ever experienced. And you looked at me and you said, thank you. Who the hell's this nut? With my long, curly, streaked blonde hair at the time. I was very tan, by the way, and 45 pounds lighter, by the way. But, George, I mean, you put it out there in perspective. The honesty, the straightforward writing. Now, I understand at the age of 23, you were voted as one of the top 8 anglers in the country. And it just went on from there. Getting into the industry as you did, saltwater sportsman and evolving to TV, to this, you were a visionary and you always acknowledge that you had help along the way and you're great about that. Not like some of these chest beaters, people, believe me. Oh, you don't know. Well, yeah, you probably do know. But George, you've taken it to a level that few have attained. And you keep up, you keep it up, and you stay up there. How do you keep it going?
Well, it all goes back to that. That's my sport. That's what I always did. That's what I always wanted to do. So I always had this strong passion, still do, that anytime I go to do something out there, it just, you love doing it. And it just consumes you, but you love being consumed with it. And, you know, you always strive to, you know, put your readers or your viewers in that situation, but to educate them, also let them know what we're doing with tactics and
right.
that, so they could glean stuff and use it on their own. And that's the way I've always approached everything. And I always, you know, continued to love doing all that stuff. And I had some of the most tremendous help coming up. I mean, I always aspired to be like, you know, the editors and writers and that, mm-hmm. you know, would read in the heyday. And I never dreamed that I would be doing what I'm doing. I didn't set really forth to do it, but it ended up that way. But when I started, you know, it all started with the Mako Loner tournaments and fishing those. And Mako Marine used to do an outdoor rider trip, so they invited me to fish some of the riders. And I met Barry Gibson. I met everybody on there, Mark Sosin. And so Mark Sosin was the one who took me under his wing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very instrumental in my career in telling me early on, I can always remember, he told me who the good guys are in the industry and who the buttholes are. And he said, stay away from these buttholes.
That's Sosin, man.
And he was blunt. And he named names, and these were some of the real big names. And so he always would like tell me, coach me, whatever. So he was a tremendous help along the way. And then my first piece I ever sold, I never even wrote. I didn't even know if I could write. Frank Sargent with Outdoor Life magazine knew I sailfished
a lot.
He says, why don't you do a sailfish story? And I said, I don't even know if I could write. He says, write. If it looks good, we'll run it. If not, we'll just tell you it wasn't that good. It took me friggin' 2 weeks to put this thing together. I didn't know what I was doing, and sent it in, and they ran it. And as you well know, Outdoor Life was one of the biggest paying magazines.
At the time,
1983. I got a check for $300. I thought I was going to retire on it.
My first piece wasn't until 89. It was a little segment piece, $100. I thought I was going to retire, George.
Yeah, I thought this was fantastic. And then, because I had met Rip Cunningham, Spider Andreessen, Barry Gibson. Barry Gibson asked me to do a kingfish story for Saltwater. That was the second piece I sold. They didn't pay quite as well as Outdoor Life, but I got $200 on that. And Barry said, hey, we might have a position to open it up at Saltwater. Would you be interested? And I said, are you kidding me?
Wow.
They flew me to Boston. That's when the headquarters were there.
Exactly.
This was 1983. And I had jumped on board with them in 1983 and remain with them to this day.
And George, but you keep it real. Listeners, I've seen George at these seminars. You always make time for the attendees. You always make time for anyone who has one or two questions, George, no matter how trivial to some would seem trivial, but you want to give the people not only their money's worth, but it seems like you're answering, not to be corny here, Poveroma, but from your soul. Like, you really gets the hair on my arms up. You really give it your all, dude.
Well, yeah, those are your customers. Those are the people that come to see you. They buy the seminar tickets. They watch your TV show. They buy your sponsor's product. And those are your customers. And that's your job, is to cater to them. And it's funny, like, when I do my Facebook posts and this and that, and I get so many private messages from people on Facebook. Hey, we saw this show, George. That was great. But you know, what was the weather like? Or they'll ask you these questions, and mm-hmm. most people would just ignore them. I answer every single one, and sometimes I'll make a post, and all of a sudden I see all these private messages. I said, oh, man, I'll sit there for an hour and a half answering them all. And it's the same with the emails. You know, hey, these are the people that keep you doing what you do, and I immensely respect that, and I'm going to take good care of them as they did throughout my career with me.
Listeners, this is George Poveromo, the man. And believe me, I've been around this industry a long time. He is one of the few, like, genuine people, appreciates his readers, appreciates his listeners, appreciates the seminars. Well, George, I have to ask you this. Where does it go from here now with the national seminar series and TV episodes now? Like you said, you're not, you know, closing the door on having maybe another live series again. and the writing and the TV show. Again, ratings through the roof as always. Listeners, on the Discovery Channel, George Poveromo's World of Saltwater Fishing. Check out the tuna popping and jigging, man. Make your hair stand on end. Where does it go from here, George? You have great support with the lovely Edie, you know, your kids, you have a great crew. How do you keep it going forward, man?
We just keep it going forward, you know, and people say, when are you going to retire? And I look at them like they're crazy. Retire? You know, I'm going to be doing the same exact thing I'm doing now when I retire. But now, you know, I got sponsors that back all that. So if I got to retire, it's going to come out of my own pocket. I don't want to do that.
That's also Poveromo the man, the Poveromo the businessman. We got that down. Well, George, it was great.
We're going to keep this train going for as long as I can still run it.
It's great. Listen, it's 19 years, Rack and Fin Radio. George has been a guest on every year, every January. George, from that first show, now your TV show has been around 22 years now. The seminar series in its 35th year that's gone to the episodes on TV, people. You will absolutely like catch it up. George, now, fishing for fun. Do you? Now, I saw a post of you with a largemouth. I said, in fact, my lovely Dee Marie said, man, this guy does it all, doesn't he? I said, I think he just, Edie caught that. He just posed for that. Just stop that. But do you get to fish for fun yourselves? And let me get in the boat and just go and maybe, I don't know, jig some yellowtail for dinner or something. Do you ever get to do that, or is it a constant grind, George?
I don't get out to fun fish as much as I would like to. I'll get out a handful of times a year. I'll call a buddy. Let's just go. Let's go, whatever, fish. And it's so good to get out there and not look around, see a camera boat. And then I play around a little bit, you know, with freshwater. As a teenager, I used to fish the banks of a local canal where I grew up in Miami, get largemouth. And I like a little break to do freshwater fishing because I tell people, I said, I know enough about freshwater fishing to be a danger to myself, and that's it. And so I try to, when I catch freshwater fish, I try to think in terms of saltwater, like, where would some of these fish be? What would you do? So I try to apply some of that saltwater knowledge to catch freshwater, and it's enjoyable. It's a different scenery. It's different fish, and I like the different color scented worms. You know, you got grape color smells like a grape. You got an orange one smells like an orange. You got a black one smells like licorice. I like the amazing stuff that goes in those freshwater lures and scents and all that. It's pretty cool.
Well, George, listen, the best to you and Edie and the crew. Take care. Thanks for joining us again. 19 years strong. George Poveromo's show 22 years strong, and it's just going through the stratosphere. Nothing holding it back. George, travel safely. Hope to see you on the water one of these days, guys.
We will for sure. And as always, I can't thank you enough for making room on your show.
Always, George. Take care, man. Be safe.
All right, you too.
Bye. Way long in that segment up against a break. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. George Poveromo's World of Saltwater Fishing on the Discovery Channel. 8 a.m. It's going to be on, was it, tomorrow, Sunday? Yeah. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Jill Nato. Johns Hopkins University says there were just over 900,000 new COVID cases in the U.S. Friday. And Dr. Juan Dumois of Hopkins All Children's Hospital in Florida says it's on the rise among children.
Last week, we had 38 kids who tested positive. This week, 246.
The CDC is urging adults to get vaccinated to help protect kids from the virus. President Biden's in Las Vegas to honor a former colleague.
President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden plan to attend the memorial service for former Senator Reid today. Reid died after a long battle with pancreatic cancer on December 28th. Next week, Reid will receive the rare honor of lying in state at the U.S. Capitol. After his death, President Biden said Reid never gave up a fight, whether in politics or even against cancer. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Very cold overnight under a clear sky, low of 17. Lots of sunshine and cold Saturday. Watch for icy spots, a high about 32. Clear, cold Saturday night, low 17, but temperatures rising through the 20s in the early morning. And then on Sunday, mostly cloudy and not as cold. Occasional rain in the afternoon, a high 43. I'm AccuWeather's Dave Bowers on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, back inside Rock and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We did January 8th tonight. That was George Poveromo. George Poveromo's World of Saltwater Fishing on the Discovery Channel. I've known the man for decades. He's indeed the platinum standard of the fishing show roster, universe, whatever you want to call it. But hey, man, let's get down to it right now. Winter bow season is still going on in the state of New Jersey to the 31st. Now with the snow, we had some snow a little earlier in the week. A lot of that melted. Had some more snow Thursday night into Friday, man. Bow hunting, okay, shotgun, muzzleloader, especially depending on the DMZs, they're still open as well. Bow hunting in the snow, winter bow hunting in the snow, is just the ultimate. Might have called in. It took me, I've known this gentleman now going on 3 years. It took him probably 2 years to say more than hello. No, I'm only kidding. He's a very, very down-to-earth guy. 45 years bow hunting in the pines. Bow hunting experience in the Jersey Pinelands. Also along the south, the woodlands along the South Jersey coast. 45 years. Almost all of it, I'd say loosely 99% of it, on public land. And man, does he score on the antlers. Very special guest on the Rack and Fin Radio line for a few minutes to talk about winter bow hunting in the snow, winter bow hunting tactics, and how to get it done is Bill Brown. Up there, I would say, general area, Waretown, Barnegat Way. Just a very, very cool guy and very special guest on Rack and Fin. Mr. B, how are you?
I'm very good. I don't even know if I live up to that the announcement there, Tom. Holy cow. Thank you very much.
Ms. Brown, you got it. And believe me, listen, does Tom P. do his homework? Well, don't ask the nuns from, first to eighth grade. That's all they're ready. Bill, you are highly respected especially in the bow hunting universe in South Jersey, you know, hunting the pine lands and successfully hunting the pine lands on public land, Bill, and scoring as you do, the work you put into it. We got to shortcut a little bit, Mr. Brown, because this is prime time to be out in the woods in the snow. It just makes me crazy. Bill, with the snow on the ground, that I swear people that, Tom P., they're only deer. They're cervids, big, a four-hoofed animal. I don't care. I swear they know they're more visible. And, Bill, they get even warier that I'm seeing on some of the areas we hunt on private land. What's your take on that?
Well, I think for the most part, people forget they're an animal of habit. And they will, in my experience, they have patterned me as much as I have patterned them. I think it's about patterns.
Whoa.
And late season hunting for me, right now, I've done all my scouting in August. Because honestly, what they're doing now, they did in August.
Okay.
So when I go in the woods, I find a food source. I mean, baiting's legal. I'm not going to say I haven't baited. I have. But I've really done well this year on the acorns. Mm-hmm. I've been very fortunate to cross paths with a couple of beautiful animals. And once I find one, you got to be specific and you got to focus on that animal. And you said it before, it's about doing the work. It's about mm-hmm. you know, walking in with the wind in my face all the way. Maybe not walking in the same way twice. You know, there's little things you do that just put you on top of you really have to beat their instincts. Mm-hmm. If you can make them rely on their habits and you can beat their instincts, you've got them.
Now, Bill, these deer have impression and some select DMZs. It was a season open, September 14th, 15th, somewhere till now, and then beyond, and some areas that we hunt, DMZ 8, DMZ 7, whatever, you can shotgun hunt until the 14th or 15th and bow hunt until the 22nd. Would you say that they are on super high alert? I mean, they've been chased for months.
I would say they are definitely as cagey as they are all year long, but their stomachs will often make them forget that. You know, they're looking for food right now. If you can find a good food source, I don't care if it's acorns, I don't care if it's the rye fields, I don't care. I mean, if you're doing a bait pile, you get them hot on a food source and don't get chained to the food source. Be willing to go 200-400 yards off the food source. You can cut them off. You can do it.
Bill, again, on public land, there's still pressure on public land. You seem to be successful year after year, season after season. Again, putting in the time?
It's a ton of work. I am very fortunate. I have a wife that is wonderful and allows me to spend a lot of time in the woods. I would say I'm lucky enough to pretty much be in the woods almost every day. And if I'm not hunting, I would say half the time I'm in the woods, I'm scouting, not hunting.
Join us on the Rack and Fin line is Bill Brown. I would say, and you don't use this term loosely, people, or lightly, rather, I should say, expert bow hunter. Topic is winter bow season is on. Winter bow hunting tactics, winter bow in the snow. Bill, with snow down, you doing anything different?
There's a lot of times when I will start backtracking. I will follow trails. I will find out where they're bedding, and maybe not sit in the stand as much. And I'll try to learn something about the animals that I'm hunting. Now's the time to do it. It's hard to track a deer in the crumpled up leaves of fall.
Right.
You put some snow on the ground, it's easy to see where they're coming from, what they're doing. You know, if you're not seeing deer till dark on your camera, don't keep doing it. What's the definition of crazy? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Change it up.
Well, Bill, you finding that in the snow, they tend to watch their back trail more? Are they being extra cautious? Or again, or is their belly dictating, man, it's time to eat. We got to eat.
Honestly, my experience, I would say, especially with snow on the ground, our local deer, they're not used to it. In recent years, I'm going to say their belly is dictating. You're going to get away with more with snow on the ground than you are with less. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be a better experience with snow on the ground. I think you have the advantage.
Bill, insofar as cover sense, you know, masking sense, if you will, yeah, you play the wind naturally, and you can never be, listen, I don't care, whatever that gold stuff you spray, the scent killer, it's all good stuff. You know, as my friend Ronnie Jones at ACP Redding's Pride Game Calls and Outdoor Scent says, Tom P., you'll never be scent free in the woods. I mean, but does the cover scent play a part here?
I use cover scents, but it is a fickle mistress. You got to be careful. If you don't know what you're doing, you'll tend to blow deer out more than you will cover up your own scent.
I mean, how's that happen?
I've tried all kinds of things. You ever put, like, say, raccoon scent or fox scent on? You walk in your trail to your stand, a deer comes across your trail and blows out of there. Was it me or was it the urine? Was it the fox urine or the raccoon urine?
Mm-hmm.
You got to wonder. If I'm walking into my stand with no cover scent on and that deer blows out, I know it was me. So it takes some, you know, careful experimenting to see, because different deer in different areas react differently. You know what I mean? That's just the bottom of that. That's deer hunting, you know? I do like cover scents. I've used all kinds of cover scents, from acorn. I've made my own cover scents.
Wow.
You know, from raccoons that I've trapped and stuff like that. But it is just a sketchy thing.
Brown, did you do that in between the 10 minutes you get to sleep? Time to do that.
If I can be in the stand, why would I be sleeping?
This is what people tell me about Bill Brown. Again, I've known him a couple of years, and it's just it's really something to watch him, not watch him work, but see the results of the hard work he puts in. Bill, now, prime times, they can show up at any time of day, as in during the rut, or is it still morning, late afternoon, early evening? What's the dealio?
I'm going to say with snow on the ground, I would sit all day. I have seen more deer in the middle of the day than I have in the evening and late at night. You know what I mean? In the evening and early morning hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now with snow on the ground, they're moving all day long. And let's face it, it's a nicer time to sit. You know, it's going to be warmer. The sun's going to be on you. You'll be able to sit longer, sit quieter, be still. That all plays into it.
Okay, Bill. Now, Bill, there was the primary rut, you know, late October going through November, the secondary rut into December. Some parts of South Jersey, I've noticed it all over the state. Listen, again, I've been very forced to hunt from High Point to Cape May, all points in between. But, Bill, a tertiary rut, a third rut, a real deal down here in the South Jersey woods?
I think in recent years, yes, for me it has been. I definitely see the results of it. I see deer chasing, like, around this full moon that's coming is definitely going to be a time to catch one.
Wow.
Hey, they never give up. They never give up. They're always chasing. You know, they're like a teenager. They're always chasing.
You read my mind, man. I remember those days.
Yep. If you can take advantage of that, and I've tried that new Tinks stuff that's legal this year, the non-deer urine Tinks attractant, and it's worked great for me.
Shout out to Big Bill from Creekside, who is a Tinks maniac. And, man, does he have the deer to show for it. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It definitely works. Definitely works.
Again, Bill, you're saying you can see deer all during the day. So this rut more or less even, you know, gets that even going harder, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. If there's a big one left, you will catch him at this time.
Bill, making the choice to draw or not, A personal thing, me, I'm all about the chili, you know, the back straps, the cutlets, the steak pizzaiole. You're a lot more selective, as your son Noah told me. Shout out to Noah B! And by the way, he has one badass German short hair named Sadie that finds ringnecks and Manahawk and like nothing, nobody's business. But that's besides the point. I digress a little bit. But when you decide to draw, I mean, is a conscious thing, you know, there's bigger deer around. This is the biggest ones, being selective. What goes through your mind when you decide to make the draw or not to draw?
For me, it's the hunt. If that hunt that I'm on, it becomes in some way special or unique, or I have a history with the deer. There are deer that I have followed for 5 and 6 years. I have a small rack on my wall. We call them half rack. One's an 18-inch spike. The other side's got 5 points. I saw that deer. I had him on camera for 6 years, 7 years.
Whoa. On public land?
On public land. Absolutely. They're there.
There you go. That's the thing, listeners, with public land. And I've shot deer within 100 yards, 50 yards in a parking lot, whatever. But, Bill, again, the secret on the public land, even this late in the year, pressure is down. There's still some guys out there, such as yourself. But it is getting back in there, is it not? Finding the nastiest, nasty, badass cover?
Absolutely is. You gotta put in the effort. You gotta put in the effort. I mean, you're gonna see deer anywhere. I mean, you know, that's not a problem to see deer in New Jersey, but you want to get the big ones. They know, you know, they feel the pressure. They know what's going on.
Uh huh. Well, Bill, as your son Noah said once, he showed me some photos on the cams that he said, "Oh yeah, Dad passed up on this, passed up on." I'm thinking, I'm having a heart attack here looking at these deer on camera that you've passed up. But it's a matter of, again, you said being. Actually, that's a sound existential thing, people here, but like being one with the quarry is not, I mean, that's a part of the experience.
It is. It is for me. And I, like I said, if the hunt's special, that's a deer that I'm after, I'll definitely do that. But a lot of times, if you don't let them grow big, you're not going to have big deer to shoot.
So there you go.
Right. I will be finicky, you know, and especially I will, you know, fill my freezer every year, but I don't worry about filling the freezer because it just happens. Plus, I have two young sons who are hunters. My son Zachary's an excellent hunter. Noah's an excellent hunter. So together, we all contribute and fill the freezer.
They're called the Brown Boy Assassins, people. But that's another another segment for another show. But, Bill, when do you decide now, okay, somebody else might get that buck that I'm after? Does that have my idea ever cross your mind, or you say it is what it is? Especially on public land.
It is what it is because it happened to me this year. I had a beautiful six pointer. I passed him up those first 2 days in muzzleloader, and a friend of mine got him shotgun not 2 miles down the road on public land. And he called me up and showed me the picture. And he goes, "This is something you just have to treasure." The gentleman's name is Louie. And he goes to me, "Bill," he goes, "we'll be tied together on this shotgun hunt forever because I got the deer that you got the pictures of."
There you go.
I don't know. To me, that's a treasure. I'll take that.
Bill Brown, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. Hope to have you as a guest again. Listeners, this is the man on public land with the bow, especially now winter bow season. I have another few weeks to go. Get out there, especially with the snow down, is indeed an experience that you'll just really enjoy. Bill, thanks for joining us. Hope to see you soon, man. Oh, by the way, let's get a little white perch trip going here, little brother. What do you think? Whoa, hey.
I love it.
Oh, hey,
it.
Okay. Okay, Bill, you take care. Best to everyone.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Take care. This man does it. He does it. I've seen his deer, and probably the most, by unassuming, I mean, doesn't brag, doesn't this. It's just all about the experience. A lot of us have lost that. Is it the TV shows? It's a racker. It's a shooter. Why would you shoot that deer? The shame that goes on. This man, Bill Brown, is above all that. Hey, man. Grab that cup, grab that rib. We're going to rack it up. Rack and Fin Radio. Be right back.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Hi, it's Pete from Chickie and Pete's reminding you of our proud partnership with Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins and his Impact Foundation that serves needy communities. There is still time to try the exclusive B-Dawk Impact Burger, only at Chickie and Pete's, with $5 from every burger donated to the Brian Dawkins Impact Foundation. It's tasty grass-fed beef with mouth-watering jerk spices, Caribbean pineapple sauce, and jalapeno chimichurri served with a heaping side of our crabby sweets. The B-Dawk Impact Burger is a winner. For a limited time, only at Chickie's and Pete's. Fast food or brown bag lunch at work got you down? Let Chickie and Pete's easy-to-use online ordering pick you up. Yes, I'm Pete from Chickie and Pete's, reminding you about our easy-to-use online ordering and convenient curbside pickup. All of your Chickie and Pete's food favorites are just a click away. Order online at chickieandpete's.com and pick up at the Chickie and Pete's closest to you. Chickieandpete's.com, click online ordering, enter your zip code, and order away.
Kane Brown, Blessed and Free Tour. January 13th, Wells Fargo Center. Special guests, Chase Rice. And Restless Road. See the meteoric rise of Kane Brown live. Tickets are on sale now at KaneBrownMusic.com. Presented by AEG Presents.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Wait a second, Tom P. What's happened to Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo at the Convention Center? Snow be damned, man. It melted, roads are clear. It's going to be going gangbusters there this weekend. Okay, full disclosure right now for this segment. It's Friday, late afternoon. We are in the Rack and Fin Radio Studios. Put a call in to Gerard, a.k.a. Jerry Vessels, owner and promoter of the Wildwood Fishing and Boating Expo, where Dave Marciano, Wicked Tuna, Captain Dave Marciano, Wicked Tuna, and his son Joe will be there. It's going to be a great weekend. He has sold out exhibitor space, over 75 exhibitors, 5 boat deal. It's going to be a monster show. Join us on right now. Little update. The day before is Jerry Vessels. Jerry, how's it going, brother?
Tommy P. Everything is going wonderful, buddy. Wonderful.
Everything, that was Friday afternoon, guys are coming in, the exhibitors are coming in, packing stuff up, or what's the dealio? I mean, I should say unpacking. I'm too excited.
They are unpacking. It's a work in progress. We got like 30 vendors in here now putting their stuff together and going to make this show the best show in 2 years in the state of New Jersey.
Now, Jerry, over 75 vendors, your space is taken. You got the boat dealers there. Now, let's talk about the mask, the and something that's going on, mask optional. What's the deal? Go into the safety thing, bro.
Yes, all about safety here, and common sense rules the day. This is the building, Wildwood Convention Center, is a New Jersey state facility. We're abiding by all New Jersey regulations for COVID, which currently there are no restrictions for indoor activities. Mask are optional. We have a limited supply of masks that we can hand out to people. If you decide that you feel uncomfortable and you wish to wear a mask, if you wear a mask, that's perfectly fine. If you don't wear a mask, that's perfectly fine. We have several hand sanitizing stations located throughout the facility so that you can walk up and freely clean your hands. There's bathrooms, everything. We're taking it serious because we know that there's something out there, mm-hmm. regardless of what you feel. There's something out there that's making people sick, and the last thing we want to do is associate ourselves or anything else with making someone sick, especially pertaining right. to something we love with fishing and boating.
Okay, listen, show hours are Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, 9 to 2, and check it out. The parking is free. At the Wildwood Convention Center, a lot, huge, spacious lot. Get there and enjoy. You'll see me there. You'll hear me there, people. 300 pounds running around, and I'll be between probably 25 boots I already picked out that I'll be hammering on, and then the bar, and then the food. The bar, the food, the vendors.
I was going to say, I'm making the announcement right here. This is, even though it's Friday and it's taped, and you'll hear it Saturday, not only have the Yeti 65 that we're giving away, but some of our vendors were gracious enough to donate some mojos and some other things.
So wow. Whoa.
The Yeti 65 is the grand prize in our free drawing. And then we got a couple other package deals that we're going to put together that are going to be well worth the price of admission. So, again, $7, 12 and under is free. 9 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 2 on Sunday. Free seminars all day. You got free parking,
both days,
free
yep.
seminars, free swag bag, free Yeti giveaway, free mojo giveaway.
And how about this, listeners? You get to throw harpoons at Tom P. Hey, Jeff, let's throw it for hey, for an extra $5. It'll go. We'll put it to the RFA or something. What do you think?
I don't know if my insurance is going to cover that one.
Well, listen, don't forget Captain Dave Marciano and son Joe from the show Wicked Tuna, Nat Geo. Captain Dave is the man, the one, the guy. You heard him last week on Rack and Finn. He will be there both days. It's going to be a great show. Can't wait to get down there, man. I will see you tomorrow. Now, me and Dee Marie are flipping a coin. Bow hunting or Wildlife Expo. I said, babe, we have both days because we're hunting private land. So she can hunt on Sunday. Or do we go Saturday when there's more people? And we go, oh, Jerry, it's going to be a great time. We will see you either one of those 2 days, little brother.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you and your lovely bride this weekend, Tommy. As always, it's been a pleasure. And I hope to see you Saturday or Sunday.
And Jerry, by the way, with the, I guess, the food vendors, do they have enough? I mean, you know me. Come on. Do you think they have enough?
The convention center has a concession stand, and they have some of our favorite foods, some pizza, chicken fingers, fries, that kind of lovely stuff, because we're not allowed to sell any type of, quote, ready-to-eat food at the show itself.
Just warm them up, Jerry. I'm bringing my appetite.
Look, I'm going to have something. We'll be eating well in the manager's room. So
I'll see you there, man. Be good.
And you'll have a key.
Take care, man.
All right. Thank you, Tommy.
Oh, man. That's going to be a great time. Wildwood Convention Center. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.